ते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते 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 वासुदेवाय।
Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter number 3. Yamaraj instructs his messengers, text number 20 to 21. Famous verse. Swayambhu Narada Shambhu,
Swayambhu Narada Shambhu,
Kumara Kapilo Manu,
Kumara Kapilo Manu,
Prahlado Janako Bhishmo,
Prahlado Janako Bhishmo,
Balirvaya Sakirvayam, Dvadashaite Vijanimo,
Dvadashaite Vijanimo,
Dharmam Bhagavatam Bataha,
Dharmam Bhagavatam Bataha,
Bhuyam Vishuddham Durbodham,
Bhuyam Vishuddham Durbodham,
Yam Gyatvam Ritam Ashnute,
Yam Gyatvam Ritam Ashnute,
Swayambhur Narada Shambhu,
Swayambhur Narada Shambhu,
Kumara Kapilo Manu,
Kumara Kapilo Manu,
Prahlado Janako Bhishmo,
Prahlado Janako Bhishmo,
Balirvaya Sakirvayam,
Balirvaya Sakirvayam,
Dvadashaite Vijanimo,
Dvadashaite Vijanimo,
Dharmam Bhagavatam Bataha,
Dharmam Bhagavatam Bataha,
Bhuyam Vishuddham Durbodham,
Bhuyam Vishuddham Durbodham,
Yam Gyatvam Ritam Ashnute,
Yam Gyatvam Ritam Ashnute,
Swayambhur Narada Shambhu,
Swayambhur Narada Shambhu,
Kumara Kapilo Manu,
Kumara Kapilo Manu,
Prahlado Janako Bhishmo,
Prahlado Janako Bhishmo,
Balirvaya Sakirvayam,
Balirvaya Sakirvayam,
Vadashaite Vijanimo,
Vadashaite Vijanimo,
Dharmam Bhagavatam Bata,
Dharmam Bhagavatam Bata,
Bhuyam Vishuddham Durbodham,
Bhuyam Vishuddham Durbodham,
Yam Gyatvam Ritam Ashnute,
Yam Gyatvam Ritam Ashnute,
Swayambhu,
Swayambhu,
Lord Brahma,
Lord Brahma,
Narada,
Narada,
the great Saint Narada,
the great Saint Narada,
Shambhu,
Shambhu,
Lord Shiva,
Lord Shiva,
Kumara,
Kumara,
the four Kumaras,
the four Kumaras,
Kapila,
Kapila,
Lord Kapila,
Lord Kapila,
Manu,
Manu,
Swayambhuva Manu,
Swayambhuva Manu,
Praladaha,
Pralada,
Pralad Maharaj,
Pralad Maharaj,
Janakaha,
Janak
Maharaj,
Janak Maharaj,
Bhishma,
Bhishma,
Grandfather Bhishma,
Grandfather Bhishma,
Bali,
Bali,
Bali Maharaj,
Bali Maharaj,
Vyasaki,
Vyasaki,
Shukdev the son of Vyasdev,
Shukdev the son of Vyasdev,
Vayam,
Vayam,
We,
We,
Dvadasha,
Dvadasha,
12,
12,
Ete,
Ete,
These,
These,
Vijanimaha,
Vijanimaha,
No,
No,
Dharmam,
Dharmam,
Real religious principles,
Real religious principles,
Bhagavatam,
Bhagavatam,
which teach a person how to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Which teach a person how to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Bataha.
Bataha.
O my dear servants.
O my dear servants.
Guyam.
Guyam.
Very confidential.
Very confidential.
Vishuddham.
Vishuddham.
Transcendental.
Transcendental.
Not contaminated by the modes, sorry, not contaminated by the material modes of nature.
Not contaminated by the material modes of nature.
Durbodham,
Durbodham,
not easily understood,
not easily understood.
Yam,
Yam,
which,
Gyatva,
understanding,
understanding.
Amritam,
Amritam,
eternal life,
eternal life.
Ashnute,
Ashnute,
he enjoys.
He enjoys.
Translation: Lord Brahma, Bhagavan Narad, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Lord Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Swayambhuva Manu, Prahlad Maharaj, Janaka Maharaj, Grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Shukdev Goswami, and I myself know the real religious principle. My dear servants, this transcendental religious principle, which is known as Bhagavad Dharma, or surrender unto the Supreme Lord and love for Him, is uncontaminated by the material modes of nature. It is very confidential and difficult for ordinary human beings to understand. But if by chance one fortunately understands it, he is immediately liberated, and thus he returns home back to Godhead. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna refers to Bhagavad Dharma as the most confidential religious principle, Sarva Guhyatamam Guhyad Guhyataram. Lord Krishna says to Arjuna, because you are my very dear friend, I am explaining to you the most confidential religion. Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamikam Sharanam Vraja. Give up all other duties and surrender unto me. One may ask, if this principle is rarely understood, what is the use of it? In answer, Yamraj states herein that this religious principle is understandable if one follows the parampara system of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, and the other standard authorities. There are four lines of disciplic succession, one from Lord Brahma, one from Lord Shiva, one from Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, and one from the Kumaras. The disciplic succession from Lord Brahma is called the Brahma Sampradaya. The succession from Lord Shiva, Shambhu, is called the Rudra Sampradaya. The one from the goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, is called the Shri Sampradaya. And one from the Kumaras is called the Kumara Sampradaya. One must take shelter of one of these four Sampradayas in order to understand the most confidential religious system. In the Padma Purana, it is said, Sampradaya vihinaye mantraste nishvala madaha. If one does not follow the four recognized disciplic successions, his mantra or initiation is useless. In the present day, there are many upper sampradayas or sampradayas which are not bona fide, which have no link to authorities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Kumaras, or Lakshmi. People are misguided by such sampradayas. The Shastras say that being initiated in such a sampradaya is a useless waste of time, for it will never enable one to understand the real religious principles. Translation again. Lord Brahma, Bhagavan Narada, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Lord Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Swayambhuva Manu, Prahlad Maharaj, Janaka Maharaj, Grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Shukdev Goswami, and I myself know the real religious principle. My dear servants, this transcendental religious principle, which is known as Bhagavad Dharma, or surrender unto the Supreme Lord and love for Him, is uncontaminated by the material modes of nature. It is very confidential and difficult for ordinary human beings to understand. But if by chance one fortunately understands it, he is immediately liberated and thus he returns home back to Godhead. Om Gyanatmanasya Om Gyanatmanasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshurum Tanena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadakshu Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. That's great. So my notes haven't come through. The cloud has let me down. So here Yamraj is speaking to his servants or the messengers of Yamraj who had gone to get adjournment to his court for judgment. But as you know the story, the fascinating pastime that they were checked in their duties by the Vishnu Dutas and thus they were unsuccessful. So now they've come back to their master Yamraj. And they're asking, how is it that your orders have been overcome? So they're confused. And Yamraj is enlightening them. And here he's saying that in the previous verse it was said that religion can only be manufactured by God. by Krishna. No one else can enact the laws of religion. Even the laws of nature cannot be enacted by anyone. What to speak of religion, dharma. So today it's a fashion that anyone comes up with anything, their own version of spirituality and religion. But that is rejected by the Bhagavatam. That is strongly rejected. And here it is said that there's 12 authorities in devotional service, and they're listed over here. These are the Mahajans. So in any field we have authorities, right? Whether you're working in IT or banking or architecture, whatever, there are authorities and people look up to them. If you want the Gyan or the Vigyan, you go to them. They give you their years of experience, condensed knowledge. Similarly, the principles of devotional service are, these are the authorities for the principles of devotional service of Bhakti Yoga. They know these principles. And these principles are very confidential. As Prabhupada says, Sarva Guhyatamam Guhyad Guhyataram. Do you know which verses in Bhagavad Gita these refer to?
18.
Yes, chapter 18, text number 63 and 64. So there, and even in the 9th chapter, Krishna says that this knowledge is very confidential, and I'm speaking it to you, Arjun, because you're my very dear friend. So this is, you know, guhya means confidential. So this is the most confidential knowledge. So knowledge of devotional service or prema bhakti is the most confidential knowledge in all of the scriptures. So confidential knowledge means to understand that we are not the body and we are the soul. Even this knowledge is lacking all over the world. Even the basic, no one knows. People think, I'm this body, I'm the mind, and I need to satisfy my body and mind in various ways. So whether I jump off the cliff, you know, do bungee jumping or sing, make music, or you know, write poetry, or go to the pub, or take care of the family. In these ways, people are just trying to satisfy their body and mind. Have recognition, have a challenge. In this way, there's no knowledge of the higher self, which is the spirit soul. And this is the elementary knowledge, and this is considered to be confidential. So today's modern society is so much lacking. There's so many big universities, faculty of science, this faculty, that faculty, but there's no faculty for understanding the spirit soul. And they're spending billions of dollars. There's Melbourne Uni, RMIT, there's MIT, there's so many Ivy League colleges, there's IIT in India, IIM, but they don't know this basic knowledge, and they're spending crores and billions of rupees and dollars. It's all a waste until they understand this. Then higher than that is to know that there is Brahman, right, and there's Paramatma. So this is more confidential knowledge. So there are some schools out there, there's spirituality, and they did talk about Brahman realization. And that is more confidential. And Krishna also talks about that in the 18th chapter. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Sochati Na Kankshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. So Krishna talks about Brahma Bhuta as the, you know, more confidential realization. And as Paramatma realization. But higher than all of that is, Krishna talks about Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakto Mad Yaji Mam Namaskuru. Manmana, always think of me. Manmana, what is it? I just said it, Manmana. Manmana bhava mad bhakto, become my devotee, mad yaji, worship me, and mam namaskuru, offer your homage or obeisances unto me. So this is the most confidential knowledge. This is the sar of all the Vedas. So all the rituals that are there in the Vedas, the worship of the demigods, there's talk about charity, right? All this culminates in surrender to Krishna. And what does surrender mean? This is what surrender means, to always think of Krishna. So we have a mind, the nature of the mind is to think, feel and will. That's what we're doing all day, right? In a mind we are thinking about something, then if you think sufficiently you start to feel it. And then you want it. And the marketing and advertising department, they understand this principle very well. And they take it to their advantage, right? That's all marketing is about. Thinking, feeling and willing is to convert people. Convert, you know, your leads into, it's about the conversions. So bhakti means the same thing, is to manmana, is to think about Krishna. And is to become his devotee. So we have to think, we have to change our object of thinking to Krishna. So not once a day, but all the time, 24 hours a day, Prabhupada says. So he says, Savai Pamsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radhoksade. So this Krishna consciousness of bhakti is performed constantly and without any motivation. That is pure devotional service. So it has to be done constantly, all the time. So the gopis and the advanced devotees, pure devotees, are always thinking of Krishna. So how can we always think of Krishna? Prabhupada talks in the purport. We can always think of Krishna if we have a service. It's simple. It's very practical. So if we have devotional service, then that helps you to think of Krishna. Because that service is in relation to Krishna. So just like you're at work, you are supposed to think about work. When you're at work, right? They expect samadhi out of you. So when you're here, 8 hours, just work. Nothing else, no Facebook, no Instagram, no Bhagavatam reading. Just work. So in the same way, you have to think about Krishna service. So if we have a service, then it becomes easy to think of Krishna. Like at work, if you're working, you're naturally thinking about work. Right? If you're given a job to do, a task to do, you have to think how to do it properly and how not to get distracted and how to increase your performance. So that is samadhi. Right? So in the same way, if we have a service, a service which is challenging. So that's why we have to take responsibility in Lord Chaitanya's movement. So if we take some responsibility, as much responsibility as you can take, then it becomes easier to think of Krishna. So the more challenging the service, the easier to think about Krishna 24/7. So Prabhupada gave this example. This is a preaching movement. Prabhupada gave the example of the Indian railways. So what's the function of a railway? What's the job of a railway? To take you from A to B, or to take the goods from A to B. So whoever's involved in the railway that's their job. Whether you're a clerk in the railway, or you're driving the train, or you're the, you know, chai wala in the train, or you're the cleaner. So everyone's job is to, or the ticket checker, is to take you from A to B. So similarly, this is Lord Chaitanya's movement, is to share Krishna consciousness with the whole world. And so whether you're involved in deity worship, or you're involved in making garlands, in kirtan, writing, you know, translating books, there's so many services, there's a million services, or you know, preaching. So ultimately it's all related to spreading Krishna consciousness. So if you're plugged in any way, then you're on the right track. So if we have a service in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, then it's easy to think of Manmana, easy to think of Krishna all the time. So the more the challenging the service, the easier it is to think of Krishna all the time. It's like if you're running a business and you've never done it before, right? It's very challenging, and it's like all the time you're thinking, how do I do this, how do I, you know, contact the suppliers, where's my mal compare, how do I sell it, I have to make a website. So that is 24/7 thinking. So the same as if you have any service like that, you're thinking about Krishna. So even if you are doing a job or business, then at work we have to think about work, we can't think about Krishna. But then how do we use the results of that? So if you're using the results of that in assisting the spreading of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, then that also becomes thinking of Krishna. Though those 8 hours you're not thinking directly, but though you're connecting that to Krishna's service, then that automatically becomes thinking of Krishna. As long as that connection is there. If that connection is not there, then it's a waste of time, basically. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, 1.2.8, I think. They said, Dharma Svanushtita Pumsam, Dharma Svanushtita Pumsam, Vishvaksena Kathasuyaha, Nodpadayed Yadiratim, Shrama Eva Hikevalam. So it said that the occupational activities the man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. So we all are engaged in occupational activities. We hope you are engaged according to your nature. And so that is activity. So if that doesn't provoke attraction to Krishna's message, then it's just, what's the use? Right? And then in the next verse, Dharmasya hi apavargasya nartho arthayo pakalpate nathasya dharma kantasya kamo labhaya hi smitaha. So all occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. And one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. So here Suta Goswami is talking about, as Devamrit Maharaj was mentioning last week in his class, spiritual economics. We go to work to give. And that's what these two verses are talking about. So if work is not connected to Krishna, if it's not leading to furtherment of our devotional service, then it is taking us away from it. And then it is so much useless labor. Then better change it and do something else which will make it easier to think of Krishna. And here also this verse talks about devotional service or surrender. Right? So here the 12 Mahajans, they know the principles of religion, and these religious principles are very confidential. So what is that religious principle? That is, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, it is Sarva Dharma Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja, or what we were talking about, Man Mana Bhava Mam Bhakto. So Krishna says, give up all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. So that is Krishna's most confidential instruction to Arjuna. So though Bhagavad Gita is everywhere, not everyone knows this. So this is very, very confidential. We distribute millions of copies, still people don't know this, though it's sitting in their home. If they read it, they could know about it, but they have to read it. So the average Joe doesn't know about this. Even the demigods don't know about this. This can only be known if you hear from a devotee who is coming in the parampara. So the reason we can know about this is because Prabhupada has made it easy for us. If you pick up the Vedas, you will be totally bewildered. So when I was coming to Krishna consciousness, I started becoming inquisitive and I was questioning everything. I came to that point in my life, started questioning everything. So I thought, because I'm from India, I'll read the Vedas to try to know the what it's all about. So on the internet I started reading, I can't remember, some Veda or whatever. And as I was reading it, I became totally confused. And I thought it's all about doing yajnas. And then somewhere else I was reading, it talks about doing demigod worship. So I thought it's all about that. Then someone else is talking about worship of Lord Shiva. So I was totally confused. So when one approaches the Vedas, because the Vedas are so vast, this knowledge is very confidential. It's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam very elaborately. Generally in the Vedas it is described very, very concisely. Most of the Vedas is about fruitive activities. Veda Vada Ratha Partha, right? They said most men are attracted by the yajna. Why do people do yajna? Call the Panditji. What are the famous pujas? Satyanarayan and others. That's a big one here, isn't it? So it's about blessings. Please come, Panditji. Purify the home. Give us blessings. So we can become materially prosperous. Artha. With artha, we'll have kama. No money, no honey. So Indian people are intelligent. They at least know you have to approach the demigods for wealth, for prosperity. In the West, people don't even know that. It's just do your job, by your own effort you'll get it. So at least people in India know that. But that's not the purpose of it. So this is very, very confidential. If one reads the Vedas, one will be misguided. So the essence of the Vedas is Vedanta Sutra. So Vedanta Sutra is the cream of the Vedas. It's said right in the beginning of the Bhagavata. That's Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta Sutra was compiled by Vyasadeva as the cream. And the cream of the cream is Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the ultimate. So the Mayavadis, they can't refute the Bhagavad. They can't refute the personality of Godhead. They can't hide him because it's so directly mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Therefore, they go for the Shankaracharya. He went for the Vedanta Sutra. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the personality of Godhead is directly described. So Srimad Bhagavatam is there, and it's very. Even this literature has to be approached through a devotee. Even if you pick up the Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm talking the one which doesn't have a Prabhupada commentary, you'll be misguided. So Prabhupada has made it very, very easy for us. That's Prabhupada's expertise. He has presented something very difficult in a very easily understandable way. That is the expertise of a good teacher. You know, sometimes you go to a class on any subject matter, and the teacher goes on in such a complicated way, and you come out with, you don't understand anything. So a good teacher is someone who can explain in a very simple way to all levels of the audience. So that's what Srila Prabhupada's books are. Everyone can get something out of it, from the most advanced transcendentalist to the neophyte. Someone can get something out of it. So this confidential knowledge is easily accessible through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Without Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we'll be totally lost and confused. 100%. So Prabhupada has made this easily accessible for the common Joe. So much so that Prabhupada even distribute Krishna book on the streets, though it is very confidential knowledge. It is intimate. This is intimate affairs of the Lord, right? His pastimes. But he has explained in such a way that the common Joe can pick it up and understand it. So what is that surrender then? This knowledge is confidential. So what is that confidential knowledge? It is Sarva Dharmam Paritya. So the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this verse, talks about surrender. So there are six principles to surrender. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjana. So anukulyasya means to accept things which are favorable to one's Krishna consciousness, and pratikulyasya means to reject things which are unfavorable. So we spoke about that. So gave an example of work. And pratikulyasya varjanam. That Krishna is my protector. One should be confident in all circumstances. Krishna will protect him from all difficulties. So basically surrender means to have faith. Faith and trust in Krishna. That's what surrender means. To have that. That I'll be taken care of by Krishna if I surrender to him. But we are surrendering to ourselves. And in fact, we want others to surrender to us. That's why we are in the material world. And I was watching this on Netflix, this documentary, The Billionaires of India. So one of them was Vijay Malaya, the king of good times. The kingfisher guy. Right, the king of good times. And there was another one, Nirav Modi. And then the third one was Sahara. So, given the opportunity, anyone will like to be the master. Given the opportunity. These people had the opportunity. So, the Sahara guy constructed a whole city. Where it was about, where was he living? In Gujarat or? Pune. Maharashtra, yeah. So, you know, with all three of them, I was noticing it was about becoming very famous. It wasn't so much, it was about wealth, but it was more about being very famous and everyone recognizes them and being the biggest and the best in the country. So everyone wants others to surrender to them. That's why we are in the material world. And one gets gratification when others are serving them. So these three of them had so many servants and having a good time, trying to imitate God, especially the king of good times. throwing these lavish parties, calling everyone, everyone's glorifying him, right? Become my devotee, surrender to me. So that's what we are doing. But everyone does it so everyone can get something out of it for themselves. So we surrender to somebody so we can get something out from them. Otherwise, we don't surrender. So we go to work, we surrender to our clients so we can get something from them and they can get something from us. That's the nature of this world. And in a disease condition, we are thinking we'll protect ourselves. That we can protect ourselves by our portfolio, by our bank balance, and by our family and relatives. In this way, we can look after ourselves. We don't need anyone else. We have this social standing, money, a good house, right? Secure investments, it's all set. So in this way, we can protect ourselves. And in the material world, everyone is proud. So here, surrender means, it is said, Shad Vidha Shiranagati Atma Niksheva Karpanya. That one has to be humble. So spiritual life is the opposite of material life. In the material world, everyone is proud. So recently, the other day, I went to get my harmonium fixed. One guy took my harmonium to him. And he himself said, I'm the best guy who can fix in all of Australia. I'm the best who can. There's no one better than me who can fix harmoniums and who knows about music. I was thinking to myself, wow, this guy is really proud. So that's our nature in the material world. Everyone is proud of what they do, of themselves, of their abilities. But in spiritual life is the opposite. Is one has to be humble. Humility is the jewel of a devotee. And it's to have trust in Krishna, that Krishna will look after me if I surrender. So in the material world, we are surrendering to our mind and senses and to other people. But what's the result? We might get what we want, but then we are not satisfied, and most of the time we don't get what we want. And all of that end up being frustrated and accumulate all kinds of reactions on the way. Sinful reactions. Because acting in this world means to accumulate reactions, good or bad. So Krishna says, you surrender unto me, you give up all other religious principles, and then I will take care of you. So that is Krishna's assurance to us. So it's a matter of faith. Krishna consciousness is faith. It's the degree of faith we have. To that degree, we will surrender and let go of our so-called securities. So we can see that extreme surrender in Srila Prabhupada. And that surrender is practical. It's not theoretical. So Prabhupada came here to the West. He came with nothing at the age of in his late 60s. At that age, people are looking to settle down. Right? Even so many devotees, they're looking to settle down, right? That's quite natural, nothing wrong with it. So, Prabhupada, he left everything when with 40 rupees he came to America. That is taking full confidence in Krishna's protection. And he came with just a trunk of Bhagavatam. That was his product. The Srimad Bhagavatam. First canto, not even the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Just 1.1 and 1.2, I think, or 1.3. That's all he came with. And strong faith in the orders of his guru. So that is surrender. And then he was successful. So in this way we can understand, and we get this knowledge from the sampradayas. It's mentioned here. This knowledge comes from the parampara system. One cannot get this knowledge oneself. I was seeing an ad on Insta yesterday. There was this one guy proclaimed to be a guru, and he gave his siddhanta. He was talking about the weather. I think he took it out of the Bhagavad Gita 2:13. Part of it anyway. And he was standing in the snow. It was snowing, and he said, sometimes the mind is depressed, but the nature of the mind is just like the weather. Like right now, I was giving the example of it's gloomy and it's snowing, but then the sun will come out. It's all temporary. So similarly, the nature of the mind is to be happy and sad, and because of these tough moments, we should it will make us cherish the good moments. And it's all about being in the moment. So that was what he was saying. It's all about being in the moment. And that's basically animal life. Animals are also being in the moment. So people come up with their own concoction. There's so many gurus, a million gurus. They all come up with their own concoction. They take a bit from here, they take a bit from there, a little bit from here, a little bit from there, and then they combine it and give their own meaning and throw it out. And foolish people fall for it. Because in what they're saying, there's no question of controlling the mind and senses. The moment you talk about some restraint, people run away. That's why in Krishna consciousness, we don't get that many people. Because you're talking about a complete change in your life. And especially in the West, it's all about sense gratification. Like where I live in Collingwood and Johnson Street, till 2 a.m. at night I could hear people laughing and drinking. It's all about material enjoyment. And to preach to them is very, very difficult. Because they're hell-bent on enjoying. It's extremely difficult to preach to them. And if they come to you, they're expecting some relief. And they want you to gratify their senses. And the moment you talk about God, and especially restraining your senses and mind, then everyone runs away. And that's like because people don't understand what the goal of spirituality is. If they understand the goal, then they'll see things in perspective. It's like when you're talking to a tennis player like Djokovic. If you look at their lifestyle, they're not just playing on the court in the Grand Slam, but behind they practice 3-4 hours a day. They wake up a certain time of the day. They're on a very strict diet. You know, they eat. It's everything is measured, and they sleep at certain time, and that's their sadhana. So if we just look at that without understanding that they are aiming for the Grand Slam, it seems pointless. So when people look at us, they say, "Oh, okay, Krishna consciousness. There's so many rules and regulations," but they don't understand the purpose of the rules. If you understand the purpose of the rules, it all makes sense. You know, the waking up early, eating prasadam, the not associating with devotees, non-devotees, sorry, reading scripture all the time, as much as you can, sorry. Then all of this makes sense. It's not fanatical. But if you take out the end goal, which is to develop love for Krishna, then people think you're fanatic and orthodox. So if you look at Djokovic's lifestyle without him aiming for the Grand Slam, it's all pointless. You know, if he's just doing this, if you don't understand he's playing tennis and is aiming for the big stuff, it's all pointless. So in the same way, this knowledge, it comes from parampara. So we have to accept it in the parampara, and that's when you can understand it. Otherwise, you cannot understand this knowledge. So we understand this because it's coming from Prabhupada, and Prabhupada is coming in the parampara from Lord Brahma, the Brahma Sampradaya. Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya Sampradaya. So there's various acharyas. You know, there's Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya taught about, he detected the distinction between God and the living entity. So before that was Shankaracharya. And before that, in the recent times, there was Lord Buddha. So Lord Buddha, he rejected the Vedas. That was the time of the need. And Shankaracharya, he said, you are one with God, monism. So he brought people a step closer to the Vedas. He said, okay, you are one with God. And Lord Buddha said, no, you are spirit soul, but you, at the end you become void. I reject the Vedas. And then Ramanuja, he detected the difference between the Jiva and God. And Madhvacharya, he emphasized the distinction between the Jiva and God. Duality. And then after that came Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Achintya Bheda, Abheda Tattva. Simultaneous oneness and difference. And that's what we are, Prabhupada is giving to us. Simultaneous oneness and difference. Meaning that we are one with God, but at the same time we are separate from Him. We are one with God in terms of energy, but at the same time we are a servant. And so Prabhupada has, in our parampara, in Kali Yuga, we get the highest. And what is the highest? Highest means to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Particularly, the highest is the love of the gopis for Krishna. That's what we are aiming for. And that's what is given in Prabhupada's books. Whether you pick up the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, in every purport, it talks about that. So the beauty of Prabhupada's books is you can read any purport, he brings you to this conclusion. so you don't get lost. And that is the miracle of Srila Prabhupada. And our duty as Prabhupada's servant is to share that with the whole world to our best of our capacity. And then our life will be successful, and in that way we can surrender to Krishna and always think of Krishna. So leave it here. Any questions or comments? Thank you everyone. Granthrajana Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Prabhupada Ki Jai.